Good morning. All right. If you would open up your Bibles to Luke, we're going to start in 2, Luke chapter 2.
There's Luke again.
Can't get away from Luke.
I love Luke.
Well, Luke chapter 2, as you know, it talks about the birth of Christ, and all these different things are happening, and the shepherds come and are there at the birth, or just after the birth, and there's one verse here that I want to start off this Mother's Day message, although really there's already been a lot said already. So this will be verse 19. And it says here in verse 19, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." You know, you talk about moms and the self-sacrifice, the giving. And one thing here that you see is where Mary thought long about who this son of hers was, the awesomeness of God and how he prepared everything for all of these things to take place. She thought about that whole plan of God, and she thought about it for a long time, it says. That's what ponder means. There's another word for ponder. And this is gets to the heart of what the message is today for us. And because it's Mother's Day, and we are honoring the mothers. One thing about mothers is that they brood. They brood over their children. Do you know what I mean by that?
And their grandchildren.
Or anything. You know, the word brood means to hover over lovingly. To brood means to ponder. And that's why this word brood is coming into this conversation today. Mothers tend to brood. They ponder. They hover over lovingly. I wrote down some other things here. Let me make sure that I don't miss any of these. All right. So I'll just go down a few of things. If you turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 13, Luke chapter 13, verse 34 is a verse that talks about where Jesus is talking about the city of Jerusalem, the people of Jerusalem. And he says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets," and I forget what else it says, but it says some other things about how they rejected the people that God sent to them. And then it says, "that I would as a hen gathers her brood." Is that how it says it?
Under her wings.
Okay.
Her brood under her wings.
Yeah. And then it talks about how that Jerusalem wouldn't do it. But this whole thing, this mind picture that Jesus likes to do, he loves to give mind pictures, something that you can really grab a hold of and relate to. And Jesus says, like a hen gathers her brood together, her chicks together. This is what he feels. Isn't that something? Like a mother. Now we take it from a hen and a chick. Sorry, let's talk about a mother and her children and grandchildren and everybody else that they come to love in a deep way. This is how Jesus feels about us. This is exactly how Jesus feels about us. I love that. Now, I wrote down some things about, because I did a little study out on this word, brood, and this whole thing about gathering, this gathering together. You want to make sure everything's okay, right? You gather your family together. That word means to watch over, to guard, to protect, to cover. And just like the hen does with the wings, it covers over the little chicks. It gathers, it calls the chicks in, and then it covers those chicks with her wings. And this is how God is with us. Hopefully this is a comforting message today.
Yes.
Because this thing about Mother's Day and having a brood, we're his brood.
Yes.
Isn't that great?
Yes.
Just like that. Just like we're little peepee chicks. Just little peeps. Just a bunch of peeps. You know? And he is that mother chicken. You know, the hen that and he gathers us together, and he covers us with his wings. We know that that's said in other places in the scripture, the book of Psalms. And he watches over us. When we don't even know it, he's watching over us. And he's guarding us, and he's protecting us. I was thinking about all the different things that are happening with that concept of the hen and the chicks, since Jesus says, I would like to do you as a hen does with her chicks, you know, of Jerusalem, God's people. This is what is in the heart of Jesus, is to watch over them, to cover them, to guard them, protect them. And this is what he does for us. What a comforting thought. And that's another thing that I thought about was for the little chicks themselves, what a comfort that is to them. They feel protected, right? Don't you feel protected? You feel warm and safe and cuddly. We're singing the songs today. Oh, actually, it started on the way up. Kathy put a CD in. We were listening to some worship music. And just being in the Lord's presence with the songs, you know, the words of the songs. When you step into the words of the songs, you feel like you're covered in his wings. You get all weepy and things. I was thinking about, I don't know if I want to go here or not. And I was thinking about my mom, and you, and all of us can think of different things with your mothers. And, it felt so safe. You know, you're out playing, you hurt yourself.
Mommy,
I thought you were blue. I do that with Kathy, so. Men are something like that, though, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
You know, we're little babies.
You said it.
Well, I'm just saying what's true.
But see, God made you that way.
I think, you know, let's talk about moms just a little bit. All right, just a little bit. I don't feel very qualified. So I would like to open it up to the mothers. Mothers, do you have anything that you want to say today? Or any of the kids that want to talk about your moms? I think Melinda was right. You know, there's something more to be said. I think there's something from the females here that I'd like to hear from. Anything you want to say about your mom? Anything about that relation with God, how that ties into you.
I was telling my mother this morning, obviously she's not here, so I think we do tend to appreciate her when they're not here.
Yeah.
And try not to cry. But the role model that she is in my, not only in my life, but in my daughter's life, and a legacy that she would leave behind for my daughter to also, you know, continue on that same path and living her life for the Lord, using grace and patience, maybe when she doesn't have it, but she's using God's grace. And I was telling her just how appreciative I am of those things in my life, that she's always been such a positive role model, and gracious, humble, long-suffering. I mean, every positive attribute I could possibly think of, I couldn't tell her all of them, but I said everything else that I can't think of, or the text was going on long enough.
But, and that was one of the things that I was thinking about the hand with the chicks is, those chicks were learning something about life from their mommy. You know, they saw the protectiveness, and that makes them be that way when they grow up, right? It's just that thing, and I appreciate that. Somebody else?
I'm not a mother, but yeah. I'm amazed at the capacity for unconditional love.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Women seem to have that.
Moms are never appreciated enough, you know. Yeah. In my case, you know, when you don't, you lose your mom, you know, that's where you start appreciating everything she did.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I bet you every single one of us who lost their mothers, you know, the mothers have died, you look back, this is where I was going to go, and I didn't want to go there because I didn't want to start crying. But, when I look back, I love my mother with all my heart, and I showed that affection every time I was around her. But I lived up here, and she was living in Pennsylvania with Dad, after she died, I thought, geez, I should have reached out to her more. I should have called her more than, once or twice a month. You know, I just got so caught up in what I was doing. I hope that this next generation is more reaching out to their parents and do that, because it's what you feel. I really missed the boat so terribly by not reaching out more. My mom knew I loved her with all my heart. I knew that. I know that. But I really feel like I missed something. I missed many opportunities to say more to my mom.
I'm very grateful, because it's very unusual that I have my mom and that she's next door.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't happen that often. And it was wonderful that when they moved here, they thought of that, to be nearer to us. And, you know, I'm very thankful about that. I'm just thankful that I still have her, and the wisdom and understanding that she's had all these years. And it's great. It's wonderful. It really is.
This is true what you said, but we don't appreciate them as much as we should.
I think too, is you know, like younger kids and stuff like that. As a mother, there's no set book that says this is how you're supposed to act, or this is how you're supposed to, you know, we got scriptures to go on and stuff like that, but if you're not even if you're not a believer at that time, you really don't have anything to go by. You know, there's a lot of people that give their opinions about what you should do or how you should act, but we're human, so we don't do that. And kids, I think a lot of times they see the love, they see the patience, but they also see our flaws too. And sometimes they focus more on the flaws because they're more apparent. And there's some mothers out there that are really flawed, But the deep internal part is that they're doing the best they can.
Yeah.
You know? I think most people, even if they have problems with drugs or alcohol or, you know, even smoking, we see mothers, you know, who are having babies and they're smoking, and we say, wow, that's terrible, you know? And it is. It's terrible for the kids that are going to be there. But I don't think that there's a mother that was created by God that would intentionally do that. You know what I mean? And we overlook that stuff. So we got to understand, and the kids have to understand that we're flawed. You know? And that it isn't until later on when we grow up and we realize that we're flawed, that we understand that they were flawed, but they were still doing the best they could.
Yeah.
You know, with what they had. You know, there's addictions out there, there's a lot of stuff, there's temptations out there. And, you know, I think they try, you know, mothers and fathers try to do the best they can, but we're flawed, you know.
And I just want to vouch for that, because as years went on and my kids grew up, I thought, oh, there were things that I maybe did wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said to the kids, you know, I did the best I could.
Right.
Maybe it wasn't right,
right
at all times, but I tried, and I did the very best I could for them. And that's all you can do unto the Lord. You know, you fail at times, but you try the best you can.
And I think we need to tell them that more.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, it's a lot of times we try not to show that side of ourselves, you know, mm-hmm. So we got to be honest with the whole thing too, and say, listen, you know, I'm not perfect. I'm trying to make the best decision for you. I'm trying to help you become the adult that I want you to become. But it's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough. Yeah.
I think the closest to the Lord that, you know, mothers become, for instance, like for myself. I know that when things have been really bad with my sons, you know, we cry out to the Lord and say, you know, Lord, if you could just trade places, if you could just give our life so that their life would be good. And constantly, when I did that one time, I had this light bulb moment and said, I want this with just two boys. Can you imagine how the Lord must have felt when he gave his life for us?
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And then all of a sudden it was like, wow. So that, to me, is, I know the hurt and that we have when we want to do that for our children. Because there isn't a mother here that wouldn't give her life for their child.
Mm.
And that's why.
I think we have to also remember that God is always with us, because at least my dad was very protective, and I was a big girl. And when I was 7, he died. My mom was very abusive. I grew up in an abusive home with no God, nothing. But there was always someone there when I was sick. I mean, when I was in my 20s, I went through cancer, and I had, like, I live in Crystal, they're like parents that I haven't had my mom, but I've always had someone there that I can call, and if I have to cry, they're there, and it's okay.
Yes.
So, I mean, I've been blessed in so many ways.
Yeah.
And when I was 15 to, you know, the mess, I got married, and that's when I came to know the Lord, because God put this woman in my life, and she was really the one who, because then I got curious and I really wanted to know everything. But in a way too, I also think the good thing was that because I didn't know anything about God, it was a blank, because my dad was a Buddhist, so I think if he would have been alive, where would I have been?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but I do think that we don't, I mean, we think about the moms, our biological moms, but we have, God put so many mothers in our life at different points in our lives.
And that was kind of what you were saying, so.
And that's why I always say we need to be there for the children.
Yeah.
Always. I mean, and there's a lot of people who don't have kids, but they're just as much a parent as the biological parents is. They're there for these kids that have no one else.
And this, I think all of this discussion helps us to to understand that, too, that God is a perfect parent. He knows exactly what's going on, and how much more so when things aren't going right in our life, when we don't see things happening the way we want to, or there's these disappointments and trials and tribulations in this life, that we really can entrust ourselves to a good spiritual parent. You know? And God does make sure that that parenting, that nurturing, that protection, that place of safety, we all can find it, and we'll find it in Christ.
I think too that how Christ was able to endure the cross is because he trusted in God, his Father, and that's the strength that he had
yes.
to be able to
get back to faith again, doesn't it?
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Not, you know, like parents, if you have that example of Christ and God's relationship, and it gives us the courage to do what he calls us to do.
I'm going to have you go back into the Old Testament. We're going to go to the book of Isaiah, and it's going to be in chapter 65. Now, I was asking the Lord about today, and we're talking about this whole thing about brooding and the Lord being that nurturing parent that's there for protection and all of that, like a mama. There was one other aspect that happens in Luke 13:34 was the fact that it talks about how the hen gathers her chicks, and there's a thing about gathering I want to finish up with. Because part of the brooding is making sure that chicks are gathered, you know. And I really feel like the Lord is gathering his sheep together, you know, in ways that
we might not know. You know,
when I was talking to the Lord this morning, and he brought me into Isaiah chapter 65, when I opened up to it, I actually looked over in 64. I knew I was going to 65, but I looked over because it's on the left-hand page, and I looked down because I have a verse circled, and Sylvia said that verse today when she was standing up here. Let me just read it before we actually get into 65. This is. Isaiah 64:8, it says, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father. You are our Father. We are the clay. You are our potter, and we are all the work of your hands." And you mentioned that, Sylvia, and I just kind of chuckled to myself because I thought, oh, wow. Because that was something that we are. He's our Father. We're the clay. And to be, and to really have that kind of a heart, you know, where we're teachable, I'm sure as a mother and as a father, we like our children to be teachable. We like them to be moldable, you know, in the right ways. All right, so let's just go up because I wanted to read. That was verse 8 in chapter 64. We're going to go to verse 8 of chapter 65. Because I want to talk about this thing about part of the whole thing of brooding is gathering. And it says this in verse 8. Thus says the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster. And one says, don't destroy it, for a blessing is in it. So will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. Now, this whole thing about a cluster is the gathered grapes. It's the grapes that are all together and they're put together, right? That's a cluster of grapes. We got it up there. And, yeah, I feel that here, this whole section, Isaiah 65, is talking about the end of an age and the beginning of the next one. And it's interesting that they're using this whole imagery of that there's this new wine, and this new wine is in the cluster. It's in the gathering. It's in the gathering of the grapes, the gathering of the saints. And I just want us to realize that even the way that we've started to, for a long time now, opened up the way the services are, where it isn't just one person talking, that you feel free. There's this clustering of the message that God wants to give us. God has that in all of us, and He wants there to be sharing. He wants there to be that pressing together of the grapes. We have to be pressed together for the grapes have to be pressed in order to get the wine, right? And it does get trampled on a little bit, mm-hmm. But that's part of the process, isn't it? But I just say that there's a new thing. I think I mentioned this last week. There really is God wants to restore the things the way He originally intended them to be. And the word that we use for that is the word revival. And we can have all kinds of thoughts in our mind what that is. Some big tent meeting, and people falling over because of the moving of the Holy Spirit on them, or certain language, or we all have things that have happened in our past that conjure up certain images and certain ways that it has to be. But to me, there's something really new that's going to be happening, something deeper. Something stronger, something more vital than just some outward feelings about things. There's something that's very, very deep that God is doing in your hearts right now, whether you know it or not. And I tell you that the more that we're gathered together, the more, this is what I feel the message is to encourage us to do, is that we don't forsake assembling ourselves together. That could be a phone call. That can be, it doesn't have to be on a Sunday, but it does include Sundays. That we find that this wine, this new thing, this beautiful thing, the thing that God wants to restore, his initial intent of who we're to be as people and what we can do as a group and as individuals is going to be found. The more that we gather ourselves together and encourage one another and are there for one another and pray for one another, and we're doing it at home and we're doing it at work and we come together here, this isn't just something that we just talk about and we mentally assent to, but that we really ask God to make it so that we are getting really pressed together in a cluster. Amen?
Amen.
I need what you have. You need what I have. We need what everybody else has. Right? I'm going to end this with this scripture in Ephesians. And it says in Ephesians chapter 4, and it's in I'm going to start at 15, Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, in Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together, right, and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Hallelujah. We all need one another. We're all going to need one another more. We're going to need that on all, I think, on every single level that you can think of. Whether it deals with prayer and the spiritual realm, if it's on the emotional side with counseling and being there for people, being there for people and talking with them and helping them get through certain things, whether it's on the physical side where people need help in building something or they're just worn out from doing lots of things and they need some help with stuff around their house, around the yard, whatever, that we're going to be there for one another. We're going to be there for one another. And I tell you, the world tends to try to push everybody apart, keep everybody separate. Mm-hmm. And I know I get caught up with this. You have your own house projects and yard projects and all these things that you have to do, and you need time with your wife, and you need time with your kids, and you need this time for doing all these other things. But we've really got to make sure that we're there for one another. You know that.
Yeah.
We don't want to see anybody get called out of the herd, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? You know, where the enemy would try to divide any of us off and put us out there all by ourselves. We want to be there for each other. Don't we?
Yes.
So, Lord, we just ask right now that we would be a good cluster of grapes, the cluster that you like, Lord, and people that don't forsake being with one another, thinking about one another, praying for one another, encouraging, Lord, provoking, Lord, unto love and good deeds. Lord, we really want to be those people. Not in intellectually just knowing that, Lord, but that we would give ourselves to it. And Father, I just ask that you would bless us with your presence and with an understanding and a faith that steps out and does the things you want us to do. We love you, Lord. We want to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.